the Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Donna Askin and Gail Weisberg interviewing Nathan Elbaum, November 18, 1982. Let's start at the beginning. Where were you born?
Pittsburgh.
Okay, and in what year?
1913.
Okay, can you tell us the names of your immediate family, your mother, your father, and your siblings?
Well, my father was Lichtman Elbaum, and my mother was Minnie Gershenson Elbaum, and I have one brother, Bernard, and two sisters, Sadie and Nora. Sadie's the eldest, and I'm next, and then we're Nora and Bernie.
Okay. Can you tell us what your life was like when you were growing up, especially the cultural atmosphere in your home?
Well, the my father was a let me say he subscribed to the Jewish Daily Forward, and he was a member of the Arbeiterring, and that should tell a lot. That meant that we were non-synagogue affiliated, and that our cultural life was very Jewish oriented, and we were interested in classical music recordings. My father got all the latest Red Seal Victor recordings from Meisel's down on Center Avenue, and he attended what plays there were that came to Pittsburgh, and some concerts. and it was in that area that that we were culturally involved.
Okay, and what was Pittsburgh itself like culturally when you were growing up? Was there a lot available, or is it something
you really
didn't, had to look for?
My own participation began when I started to attend some concerts, and when I saw my first plays at the old Nixon Theater, when I was interested in drama. I was interested in drama from the time I was in grade school. I was in plays there, and then when I went to Peabody, I was in the Peabody High School. I was in the class play. We were the last class of Peabody High School that gave its class play at the old Nixon, at the old Nixon Theater, and I went on from there to Pitt. I was a member of the Pitt Players, and then after I graduated from Pitt and went into and went into business. This was during the Depression, and at that time there was a very active theater program at the YMNHA, the Y Playhouse, and I gravitated to that, and I found myself involved in that, I think, for a period of about 5 years, from about 1937-38 until I went into the Army in 1941. I think I was in every production at the Y Playhouse. And then also during that time, at the end of that period, just pre-war, I was cast in a play at the Pittsburgh Playhouse, and then after the war I was involved in both. I was in 13 plays. I think I was in total 13 plays at the Pittsburgh Playhouse and about 25 plays at the Y Playhouse. So
okay,
I had quite
wow.
a bit of experience.
I'll say.
Yes.
In your early school days, were there friends or teachers who possibly influenced your theatrical interests? I mean, what kind of sparked it, or did it come from home?
At home, there was always an interest. There was an interest in plays. They talked about plays. They talked about music. They were very interested in the Jewish writers, especially, you know, Shalom Aleichem was a household word in my house. I had an uncle. I had an uncle who had come from California. He was I guess what they call a Yiddishist, which meant that he was very much concerned with purity of the Yiddish language, and he was also a wonderful reader. He, in California, he was associated with the families of Garson Kanin and Paul Mooney, although he was a businessman. He would come to Pittsburgh, and I remember that he would, the family always got together and for evenings, and he would read Shalom Aleichem stories. And I can just remember, I can still remember the gales of laughter parts of the stories would evoke from the people there. And this is just an institution in our family that every time he came to town, there would be. So, from many directions, I became interested in theater, and we are a musical family. We are a musical family. The most prominent musical members right now are at the Phillips. Natalie Phillips is my first cousin, and of course her sons Danny and Todd are very prominent right now nationally in musical. But there's a musical strain ran through the family. I had a cousin, Bertha Gerson, who was quite well known in the 30s and 40s in music in this area. She later went to moved to California. So we were involved very much in both in music and interested very much in drama. And then I became involved in drama.
I like to watch the smile on your face when you recall the stories of Shalom Aleichem. I mean, it's really, you know, it must have been so meaningful for you, you know, listening to the stories.
Well, I like to, I always like to be involved with the grown-ups in the family, and whatever they were doing, they just fascinated me. And, of course, that was one of the things that they found important. So I found
great.
It fascinating.
During your adolescent years, what did you do for fun and recreation? Do you recall?
During my adolescent years, well, I was an ice skater.
Okay.
I was an ice skater, and we went to movies. We went to movies, and
where did you ice skate? Where did you?
Duquesne Gardens, at the corner of Craig and Fifth Avenue. There was the streetcar system had a sort of a turnaround terminal there. And there was a place called Duquesne Gardens in which there was a skating rink. And, of course, every Saturday, we went skating there. There was, I think it was one of the Spitalnys had a band. Also, they played hockey games there. And one of the Spitalnys had a band, and for many years we skated to live music.
Oh, my. That must have been nice.
Yes, it was a lot of fun.
None of this piped-in stuff, huh?
I think later on, but for the most part, it was real band music, live band music.
And then from high school, you went to Pitt?
From high school, yes. I went to Pitt. I became involved with the Pitt Players there.
Mm-hmm.
I think my first picture in this scrapbook.
Oh, that's terrific.
It doesn't look like you at all.
Well, it's a putty nose. It is a putty nose.
That is terrific.
The mustache is not mine. The hair was.
Okay.
He was the villain. He was the villain. It was a play called Fashion. It was a very, very famous play of the late 1900s, late 19th century.
Oh, there's
Louis, that's Louis Reisenstein. a member of the, you know, the Reisenstein family. And, of course, there I am.
This is so great to have this album. Can we look through this after?
I'm being denounced. Yes, by all means.
That's really exciting. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little about your courtship and marriage and what year you married and your wife's name?
Well, my wife's name is Levy, and I met her at the Y Playhouse, at the Y through my activity there. It was, I guess, around 1938, 1939, they were giving a, on one of the Jewish holidays, they were giving a program. I forget which one it was, Sukkot or, but anyhow, they had a script to do, and they had some singing. And Libby was a member of the Y Choral, and they were. Well, that's another thing you should check into,
okay.
The Y Choral Society.
Okay.
And Libby was a member of the Y Choral, and they needed somebody to read a script, to do a narration. So they asked me to if I would do the narration, and being being a member of the Y Playhouse, and I did the narration, and Libby was involved in the singing. I can't remember if it was the whole group or just a few people. I think it was just a few people, because I remember being attracted to her. And I asked her after we had a rehearsal, after rehearsal, if she had a way home. And those days, girls didn't drive cars.
Right.
And
Time to change.
She said yes, she could use a ride home. I almost fainted when I found out she lived in Sheridan.
Is that far from here?
But I took her home, and that started. We were married in 1941.
And you had graduated from Pitt?
Yes, by that time I had graduated from Pitt.
And what was your first job after that?
Well, let me see. I was a pre-law student at Pitt, but when I graduated, there was not much future for lawyers, so I decided for a while I went into my father had a cleaning plant, Paulson Cleaning Company, and I didn't particularly like the cleaning business, but my uncle, I had an uncle in California who had a business distributing automobile fabrics. And, of course, there was a great market for that in California. Fabrics for convertibles and the sun out there did great damage to the upholstery of cars. So.
Fortunately.
So they figured out that maybe that would be a good business for me to start here in Pittsburgh. So I went out there and had a job with him for a year in his company. And then I came back to Pittsburgh, and the idea was that I would start a business here and bring my brother and my sister's two husbands into the business if possible, and it became possible. So this became a family business, started in 1938, and here we still are.
In the same location?
No. No, this was our third location, which oddly enough is right across the street from where I went to school as a child. Osceola School was right across the boulevard. We lived in this neighborhood.
Oh, and here you are back.
Here I am, right, and the full circle.
Oh, that's interesting.
Back in Bloomfield, Shadyside is this area. It's Shadyside right here, it's Bloomfield.
It's the line.
Yeah, well,
on
I'd say
side.
Across the boulevard, it's Bloomfield, and
right.
On this side of the boulevard, it's Shadyside.
And where did you and your wife set up house after you were married?
Let me see, the first place we lived was on, we had an apartment on... we had an apartment over here in East End, Baywood Street. That's right, the corner of Baywood and Chislett on the third floor. Okay. And I think we had a bedroom, we had a living room, and a room that we used as a kitchen they couldn't put a full sink into the kitchen. She had a stove there, but she didn't have a full sink, because if she had a full sink, it would qualify as a kitchen and her taxes would go up. So
that's a good one.
So we had
and that's where you started.
And that's where we started housekeeping. Then from there I went into the Army.
Oh, and do you have children?
Yes.
Okay. And what are their names?
I have a son, a daughter, Lenora, and I have a son, Charles. They're both married. My daughter lives in Wilkinsburg, and she has two children. Two boys, and my son lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and he just 3 weeks ago, he had a child also.
Ah.
A boy. So, and three grandchildren.
And a grandfather. Mm-hmm. What was different about raising your children from the way you were raised? And were there more cultural things available to them, do you think?
I think the main difference was, one of the differences was that I had a lot of difficulty being raised being practically the only non-Jewish child in a non-Jewish neighborhood. I had quite a bit of difficulty with anti-Semitic acts, and I became aware at a very early age that it was not a friendly world for Jewish children. I don't think my children did not live in that environment. Other than that, I think your question was about the cultural.
Mm-hmm.
I did not feel myself to be deprived culturally, I would say.
You obviously were not. I mean, and did you give the same type of thing to your children?
Well, we exposed our children to all to the same thing very early in the game. We took them to concerts and to whatever plays were available, for them. Anything, at the plays at the Playhouse and anything else, puppet shows or whatever else, and concerts, and I mean, music and drama are part of our big part of our lives. They were exposed to them, but it didn't have the same result in their lives as it did in my life. I mean, they weren't particularly attracted. Neither my son nor my daughter were attracted to music or to drama.
Sometimes I think that maybe so much else is going on. I think when you were growing up, life more revolved around the family and being home and being together and doing things together. And it seems like now kids kind of do their own thing and.
They do not, but
activities.
Not, no, well, we were still strong. Remember, I had, our family was still, we were still a strong family group. Remember, I had a brother with two children,
right.
And his two sisters, each with two children, and we were a strong family group with a lot of family activity. In fact, we had a family club on my mother's side, the Gershenson side. We had family reunions every year, sometimes twice a year, family reunions. So we were pretty much a family. Now our children have scattered. See, we did not scatter. See, I had my mother's sister had 11 children, and most of them right here in Pittsburgh.
And almost everybody is still
For the most part, that group, they eventually split up as adults, but as children, most of them were right here, and we were
Oh,
we were
nice.
I had cousins by the dozens. Our inter-family life was very strong, very full. I mean, there were very few outsiders. Practically all of our social life was within our families. My father's family and my mother's family. There were 40, 50, 60 people here. You're maybe 100, I don't know, in Pittsburgh.
And did you take vacations or anything together?
Our vacations were always.
After you got married, what did you know?
Well, after we got married, our vacations were split. We took a lot of vacations without the children, and some vacations with the children.
Okay, and what about your hobbies?
My hobbies?
Yeah, did you have hobbies?
Well, I used to say that I didn't let my business interfere with my my hobbies. Well, the biggest hobby I had was theater, and a play involved you for quite a while. I have a wonderful wife who suffered my going to weeks of rehearsals and then to performances. So. In addition to theater, there were other things. There was a bridge for a while was a hobby. I had minors in bridge and photography.
Oh, okay.
And
okay. Thank you. That's great. Major in theater.
And a major in theater.
Great. Economically and culturally, could you draw a contrast between your neighborhood then and the early years of your marriage to now?
In the early years of my marriage, economically and culturally. Well, I don't quite know how to answer that one. Well, in the early years, we rented apartments. Of course, during the war, 4 years in the Army, we traveled the United States. My wife and I was in I was in this country for the 4 years that I was in the Army. I was in this country for about over three years. So
this is
we
when
traveled.
First got married.
Yes, we traveled. Uh-huh. She traveled with me from camp to camp, and then of course after the. After the war, we rented several places, and then we finally brought a home out in Churchill Borough. And of course, economically, as the business grew, our economic status became better. And
how about?
And we were able to travel and. And become involved in community activities, et cetera, et cetera.
Culturally, were there more things available then than now, or how do you feel about that?
If you wanted to find cultural things in Pittsburgh, there was never any. We had that Nixon Theater. As a matter of fact, theatrically, there was much more. When I was a child, when I grew up, than there is now. We have nothing to compare with the old Nixon Theater and the companies that used to come to Pittsburgh, the professional theater that used to come to Pittsburgh, the road shows. I think the present generation is deprived theatrically. I think our theatrical experience was a much fuller one than what is available today and what has been available, let's say, for the past 20 years. And that has to do with several things. That has to do with the theater situation in Pittsburgh, with the demise of the Nixon. So and also it has to do with the theater itself. The theater changed, and I don't think that the theater in the last 20 years has been as enjoyable as it was when we were introduced and I saw theater in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, even though we've already discussed this a little, just for the record, can you fill us in on your involvement in the Pittsburgh Playhouse?
In the Pittsburgh Playhouse? Oh.
Was that the name of the theater that
No,
you
wait a minute. The theater, the
What was the theater you were
at? At the Y.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the theater at the YMHA
okay.
was the one in which I was involved in first.
Okay.
Yes.
And that was in...
That was,
what?
So I started there, I think the first show I was in was in about 1936. That was
uh-huh.
in, I did one play, at The Music Master was the name of it, which Al Golden was the director. And then I left Pittsburgh for a year. I came back in late 1937 and started my business. That's
mm-hmm.
when I started my business
oh, okay.
here. And at that time, I became involved in the Y Playhouse. And at that time, the involvement at the Y Playhouse was by, not by teenagers, but by young married, quite a few young married people were involved at that
mm-hmm.
time. It was the Depression, and it was a wonderful outlet for those people who were interested.
Mm-hmm.
So the age range was more from 19, 20 up to 24, 25, 26 years old. The young, what we would call young adults today were involved there. And well, people like Meyer, I don't know, you know Meyer Berger? You know the name?
I know the name.
Name?
Yeah.
Well, Meyer Berger. We met Meyer Berger and his wife there. We met Fried and Elliot Alber
mm-hmm.
There. They are our friends to this day. We go on
oh,
trips together to this day.
Fantastic.
And so I became very heavily involved, and they liked my acting there. And I think from the first play that I was in there, I think I was in about 20, over 25 plays
wow.
in a row there doing all sorts of parts.
Was Livy involved a little too? Or
No, she wasn't.
Just patient.
No, she was, well, she was involved with the Y Choral.
Oh, that's
see.
Right. You
Although she
that.
Did get, she, I don't know if she, I think during the war she was, she may have gotten in a show or two at the Y, but she was not
Where was
involved.
It located, the Y Playhouse?
At the Jewish Community Center on Belfield Avenue.
In Oakland?
Yes, in
oh.
Oakland. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I guess I already know the answer to this, but was there any compensation for this?
No.
Or was it all a labor of love?
No, it was a labor of love. We felt very fortunate to have that... to have a structured theater to be able to participate. In other words, they had a permanent director who was Sam Moll.
Sam what?
Sam Moll, M-O-L-L. They had a permanent director. They had a subscription audience.
Oh, my.
And that was run by Sam's wife, Eleanor, was very involved with her. It was very tragic. She died very early in the game, but she was a very, very brilliant woman, and she ran the subscription. I would say they had somewhere in the neighborhood of, five to seven, 800 subscribers who, you know, who came regularly to the plays. Did four plays a year, and they had a technical director who did the sets. Now, these were paid people. Say
they
so
were paid.
They
right.
were paid people. Yes,
mm-hmm.
so that you had a structure there. Say you had a structure there, and then of course we volunteers were involved. Now they had volunteers in every area. They had people in the technical area
mm-hmm.
Who were Alan Pinsker, who is still acting around Pittsburgh. His first participation there was as an assistant to Norman Rutkin. We called him Norman Bell Rutkin because the leading scenarist in New York at the time was Norman Bell Geddes.
Oh, great.
And we considered Norman Rutkin to be our genius. Bell Geddes was a genius, and we considered Rutkin to be our genius, and we were right. He went on from there to be a vice president of Max Factor, and before that he was a vice president of, who's the other big makeup company
Revlon.
First he was vice president of Revlon, in charge of their, of all of the, of designing equipment for cosmetics. He went on from there.
Wow.
So
everybody seems to have come a long way.
Oh yes. All right. And let me see. And then in the costume, they had people who, you know, volunteered in the costumes. But there was a structure there. There were the malls and always a technical director.
Mm-hmm. And your orders are ready.
And we did. They did four shows a year. Now, in addition.
Could we stop here? I'm going to turn over the tape.